Lead us not into temptation. Welcome to episode 44 of Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. Today we'll be covering questions 202 through 208 in To Be a Christian in Anglican Catechism, the official catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm Father Kurt Hein, rector of Light of Christ Anglican Church in Georgetown, Texas, joined today by my co-catechist, Father Isaac Rayberg, rector of All Saints Anglican Church in San Antonio. Before we begin, let's pray.
This is the collect for Proper 17. O Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow after us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Reminds me of St. Patrick's breastplate.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ above me, Christ everywhere.
The old collect, the old language in the of that collect, it says, instead of precedes, it says prevents, which does in Tudor English mean precede, but it can confuse people a lot. I have some friends who their podcast is Preventing Grace, because, and people get confused all the time and they think that's funny.
Well, as a pastor, I prefer to clarify things with people instead of confuse them.
But not as a podcaster. No.
But not as a podcaster. Yeah. So to go before us and behind us, that's great. We're covered by him. And the great imagery there of the Israelites as they're brought out of Egypt, right? They're led by the cloud, but then the cloud, remember, also comes behind them and protects them from the Pharaoh's army. And so they're encompassed about by God's grace. And so are we, as we go through temptation. So let's talk about that.
So Kurt, what is the sixth petition?
I'm glad you asked. The sixth petition is, and lead us not into temptation. Okay, next question. What is temptation?
Temptation is any enticement to turn from faith in God and to violate his commandments. So we're asking God not to lead us into temptation, which is why that was the collect chosen, that his grace would surround us so that we would not be led into temptation. And temptation is any incitement to turn from faith and to violate his commandments.
Yeah. So an enticement to turn from faith. James.
Yeah. Our epistle in the old prayer book this past week was from Ephesians 6, the armor of God. And it talks about withstanding the wiles of the devil. And St. John Chrysostom has a great little discussion about the wiles of the devil and how, you know, our enemy doesn't fight us straight up. He's always sneaky about it. He's always crafty. He wages war with the old Schaff translation, with much wiliness.
Temptations are part of that wiliness. Warfare with him, isn't it?
It totally is. It totally is. That's what temptation is. I mean, it's that psychological warfare. It's that much wiliness.
You need this. You're going to be happier if you do this. Yes. And I think we're going, let me read James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, because these are really the verses I think we're going to build off of as well as we continue to talk about this particular petition. So starting at verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And before that, he says very specifically that God does not tempt anyone, right? So this temptation, this enticement is coming from the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? That triad that we've talked about before. And what it's trying to do is turn us from trusting God to some other God, right? To find our complete and utter happiness and joy in something else besides the true God, and thereby violate the commandments that God has given us.
Yeah, and it is indeed a progression, like St. James says. I mean, this is what starts is what might seem kind of little gets really, really big before we're all done with it.
Yep. And it's important to weed the garden with regular confession. And that's, I think, morning and evening prayer. We have confession there. We've talked about if need be, confessing with a priest. But it's really important to nip these things in the bud before roots are put down that are deep, before the little monsters, you know, are given time to grow.
That's right. And, our offensive weapon in the Ephesians 6 is that sword of the Spirit, and everything is done with all prayer. Yeah. So the word, prayer, the sacraments, protecting ourselves with truth and faith and righteousness and salvation, and our feet shod with the gospel of peace, so that we would stay on that campaign, battling the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah. And being with your brothers in arms.
Yeah. Who has your back? Yeah.
Right. Who's got your back? It's like, when you're fighting temptation, like, we have to keep saying this because we're so individualistic in our mindset. Yeah. Actually, fighting temptation is not just an individual thing. It's like you do it in community.
if you haven't seen this in a movie or a drawing, the Tortuga formation by the Romans, where they would get together and use their shields to make basically a human tank with all the company. You know, that's what God calls us to do as the church.
Amen. Yep. So 204, what are the sources of temptations?
I'm tempted by the false promises. That's a good one. False promises of the world, the selfish desires of my flesh, and the lies of the devil, all of which war against God and my spiritual well-being. Hmm.
There's that triad again, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. But that's good. False promises, right? That's a lie.
Yep.
The false promise. So it's God gives us promises that are based in truth and in reality. But what the world gives us is a false promise. Buy this thing and you'll be happy. You know, do this thing and you'll be happy. They're everywhere. It's like, it's almost the basis of modern advertising.
You know, and we know how untrue it is. Like, laugh at those commercials, because we know that double cheeseburger is nowhere near as good as they make it sound. even if it's pretty tasty.
And there's no way that drinking Bud Light makes you attractive to beautiful women.
Right.
Okay. Whether you like Bud Light or not, that one thing is for sure.
And those are relatively insidious false promises. What about those really, really deep ones about those deeper things of life? Mm. You know, you need to go get surgery to conform your body to what you feel at the moment.
Yeah. Or the way to find fulfillment in life is to be as powerful as you can be in the corporate world. Ooh.
That woman that I married, that wasn't really my soulmate. I'm okay to get rid of her and go find somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep. These terrible lies from the world.
Then there's the selfish desires of my flesh. So the way those lies get traction, right, is they're telling us something we want to hear.
Right.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was as easy as drinking Bud Light. You know, like, so
I kind of want to do that anyway. So, hey.
So our flesh, you know, our flesh is right there. And we're not talking about our bodies. We're talking about the sin that has corrupted us. This has corrupted our desires. Right. And
those desires that aren't necessarily inherently bad, but they're in the wrong place. They're disordered.
Right. Right. What we're looking for example, what we're really created for is intimacy, but our desire is for pleasure instead of intimacy. Right.
Right.
The desire is meant for intimacy, but instead we seek pleasure. The desire is meant for finding security in God who holds us. But instead, it's directed towards just getting as much cash as possible.
We look for the lesser good rather than the greater good.
The greater good, yeah.
You know, we look for the side benefit rather than the real benefit.
The easy way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of which are based in those lies of the devil. It's the same one all the time. Did God really say?
Did God really say?
Down to that same thing.
The devil is there to grease the slide.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He knows our sinful tendencies. He's well acquainted with that. And he's there to just, you know, put a little oil on the slide to help us go a little
Give
faster.
Give us that first little shove.
Yeah. So the devil doesn't make you do it. but he certainly helps you do what's in you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh my goodness. So number 205, what help do you seek from God in the face of temptation?
I ask God to increase my faith to trust him, enliven my conscience to fear him, soften my heart to love him, and strengthen my will to obey him, that I may resist evil and stand in the face of temptation.
You know, I think for me, this second one, enliven my conscience to fear him, is probably the hardest, because we've been told in kind of our very American picture of God, even within Orthodox circles, you know, we picture him as so loving that we forget that he actually is just and wrathful, and that we deserve that wrath. You know, I do need to be reminded that I'm a miserable offender, because I don't really think I am.
Right. Well, the biggest, yeah, I mean, the scariest being is not the devil. No, it's not anybody, any person on earth, as much power as they might have, but it's God himself. I mean, if you choose to reject God, who is utter goodness, then I mean that, yeah, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, is what scripture says.
Yeah.
And so there is a correct and right fear of the Lord. Yeah. And we do ourselves a disservice if we start thinking of God as the perpetually happy sort of grandmother who just doles out cookies to us, no matter our behavior patterns. You know, it's like, no, God wants our best. You know, he's not going to align with us in our sin. He's going to do everything to remove our sin from us. And if we choose to cling to our sin, then we know that God is the righteous judge. And yeah, that we would become, that those that cling to their sins are objects of wrath. And these are all words that the Bible uses. Not fun, but we need to remember those. And also I ask God to increase my faith to trust him. Right. So there's the carrot and the stick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because how often does our sin boil down to, we actually don't trust what God has told us is best for us, and we think we know better.
Right. And this is actually the most fundamental thing. It's even more fundamental. It's the most fundamental thing, right? Did God really say? So Adam and Eve, in the garden, the issue is the lie is that God really doesn't have their good in mind, that he's withholding something good from them, that God has some ulterior motive. This is the lie that they believe. And so they disbelieve God. They cease. It begins, actually, the sin begins with a distrust of God's goodness. Soften my heart to love him.
Love is always a much better motivator than fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, what we want to do is love God more than we love our sin. And if we're honest, often we don't. We actually love our sin more than we love God. Which is just, when you think about it in those terms, it's just terrible. How could it be? But we do. I do.
Yes. And strengthen my will to obey him. Yes. And I think trust, a proper view of God, right? Of his love for us, of his hatred for sin, of what he's done for us, which enlivens our heart to love him. That really works to strengthen our will to obey him.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do have the promise in scripture that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. You know, we do not need to be slain in that battle. Or rather, it is our sinful flesh that is slain, but really, should that happen, we still have the ultimate victory. Yeah.
So question 206, does God lead you into temptation?
No. God never tempts anyone, nor is he the cause of any sin, but he does allow me to be tested so that I may grow in faith and obedience.
Hmm. So we need to talk about this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Temptation and testing are sometimes, you know, the terms are used kind of interchangeably from time to time in scripture, depending on your translation. And we might make a kind of a technical distinction between the two, him allowing us to be tempted is testing us, not for his benefit, but for ours.
Right.
Right. We get stronger because of the battle.
Right. And this goes down to the motivations, right? And in any situation, right, there are multiple actors, you could say, with different motivations. There's us, right? And within us, we have the Holy, we're talking about someone who's baptized, who has the Holy Spirit. So there's the Holy Spirit. So there is a desire to do what is right, but there's also the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. There's the sinful flesh. And James tells us that that is where the root of the temptation is. And then mm-hmm. there's the world, the flesh, and the devil that are trying to use the situation to bring that out, to lay the foundation for distrusting God, for us to do what is sinful. And then there's God, whose providence extends over all things. And so although he is not the source of evil, and he's not the source of a temptation, he does allow it. And that allowance, his motivation for that allowance, is our testing, because he has provided us the Holy Spirit. He's provided us the Word. He's provided us the community of our fellow brothers and sisters in arms, so that when we go through the temptation, we're actually strengthened and are formed more into the image of Christ, that our courage grows and we become more mature in our faith.
Yeah, and that's why we can trust, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that no temptation has taken hold of you but what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Mm-hmm. Since he does allow it to come our way, he's not going to give us more than we can bear by his Spirit, walking in the strength of the Lord Jesus.
Right. And, you know, often that verse gets abused. Because it does this, because when people quote it, often they're saying, oh yeah, I'm able to basically stand on my own.
I can handle anything.
Yeah. I can handle anything. But the assumption of that verse is that you are leaning on the grace of God, right?
That's right.
And that you are in his hands. And so, yes,
that's why he doesn't give us anything we can't bear, because he's there to bear.
That's correct. Right. And so then that is a great and tremendous promise for us, if we understand it correctly, that yes, God's grace is always there. And this thing, the things that God, that happen to us in life can be overwhelming and can be more than we can bear, but we have Christ and we have his church. And because his arms are beneath us, we stand.
So number 207, what are ways to guard against temptation?
As I abide in Christ, I can guard against temptation by praying for protection and strength, confessing my sins, recalling God's word, avoiding tempting situations, and seeking the support of fellow Christians.
Yeah, so first we should know they're coming. And so since temptations are coming, we pray. We are in all prayer for protection and strength. Again, going back to that Ephesians 6 armor of God, the whole battle plan is all prayer for the saints. And in this case, it's saints is not the guys who have gone before us and are before the throne. It's me and you. Each other. It's those of us fighting here on earth.
Well, and this is important. Like, we don't pray the temptation away.
Right.
What we're praying for is God's Holy Spirit. What we're praying for is strength.
That's right.
To move through, courage to move through this temptation. And there's a big difference between those two ideas of prayer. I think sometimes we have this wrong idea of it's really a wrong idea of who we are in Christ. We think, well, you know, we just are basically puppets, right? And God works through us like a puppeteer would work through a puppet. But that's not what God wants for us. It's not how he created us. what he wants is he wants to, through his Holy Spirit, mature us and enliven us and to grow that courage within us so that we can move through these temptations victoriously. So we pray then for, I love how it says that we pray for his strength, right? And protection.
And we confess our sins because usually temptations are building off of the sin that's already there. Yep. How often does that happen? You know, sin begets sin, temptation begets temptation. And so when we confess that, when we keep a short list with the Lord, that is a big help.
Yeah, and confession creates humility.
Yeah.
So it makes our hearts fertile soil for the courage that God wants to grow there. And I think, especially in my life, confession before a priest has been really helpful in that regard, because there's another human there and you're telling them, you know, the sin that you're going through. It's like, it's very humbling.
Yeah, very humbling indeed.
So it brings all that stuff into light. Recalling God's word. Here's the sword of the word, as we've talked about before. Memorization of God's word is important, getting it deep into us. And it's important in temptations to use the word of God rightly. In other words, to identify the lies, the false promises that we're believing, mm-hmm. that are leading to these behaviors that are come along with the temptation, and to find scripture that addresses that and to fight, use the word of God to fight those lies with truth.
That's one of the benefits of our traditional monthly psalm cycle in the Book of Common Prayer. Our 2019 does allow for a bi-monthly psalm cycle, if you prefer, but build up to that monthly one, because those prayers for protection, spiritual warfare, thanksgiving, you know, recalling God's goodness in the history of the people, all of these things, you know, all the various and sundry prayers that are the Psalms, as you're going through them all the time, they're always going to be right there at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. They'll be in your mind. You'll be swimming in them, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Very, very important. This is all very practical. Here's another practical point here. Avoiding tempting situations.
Yeah. Maybe watching that movie that you know is going to kindle lust is a very bad idea.
Yeah. Or, you know, putting safeguards on your phone.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so it can only, you can only, you know, call people and text people on it.
Yep.
Do that. You know, if you're an alcoholic, you know, and you're having issues with that, don't go to a bar. So these are sort of common. They should be. They're not. I don't know if you can call them common sense, but I mean, they. This is a very, very practical thing. I mean, any battle, right? If we're in a battle with Satan here, if we're in a battle with our flesh and the world, you need a good game plan.
Yeah.
Right. What there's been no great general in military history that went into wars without serious planning, have some sort of strategy, right, on how to defeat the enemy. So it's important for us to sit down and be like, okay, having talked about these other things, we also need a really good strategy here. What's the strategy?
Ephesians 5, Paul tells us to walk circumspectly or walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And he contrasts that with being drunk with wine, rather be filled with the Spirit, you know. So, you know, do things carefully, do things wisely, have a strategy when fighting your sin, be filled with the Spirit. Don't do things that are going to lower your, make you stupid and witless. And, you know, that's going to just cause you to sin more.
Yeah. I mean, there's obvious ones, like you don't go on you don't have dinner with a woman that's not your wife and drink. Right? Like, this is putting you in a very bad situation, right? And these are just sort of things that we need to have in our life so that, I mean, they're not enough in themselves, but they are part of this larger mm-hmm. tapestry of tools we have to fight temptation and sin.
And then seeking the support of your fellow Christians. And we're going to talk about that in the next question in more, a little bit more detail, but yeah, well, again, your brothers have your back. You need to have your brothers back. That Tortuga formation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to have a brother, sister in Christ, if you're a man, another man, a woman, another woman, whom you are able to have deep spiritual conversations with, and that when temptations start to assail you, you can talk to them about it. And right. And you know that they will tell you the truth. And that's really, really important to defang these false. And sometimes that's enough in itself, right? To defang these false lies, these false yeah. promises.
Yeah, all of us, regardless of whether you're a clergy or a lay, if any bishops happen to listen to us, y'all as well, you need your brothers, you need each other. You need another Christian who you have their ear and they have your ear, and can keep each other on track and that you can trust.
Amen. Okay, question 208. How can the church help you to resist temptation?
In the fellowship of Christ's body, I can find companionship when I am lonely or vulnerable, support to resist ungodly influence, wisdom to guard me from folly, exhortation to grow in holiness, and discipline to correct me when I fall into error. Hmm. Ooh, that really does cover all of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I heard a chaplain once say, which, see if I can remember the acronym, but he said, I think the acronym was HALT. So don't make decisions when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, because that's when you're very vulnerable to make very bad decisions. And your battle buddy, as the chaplains like to say, helps you with that.
Yes. Yeah, we need each other. We need Christ's body. If you're lonely, if you're separated from the rest of the herd, you're going to be attacked by wolves, right? You're vulnerable. You need that support, like you were talking about, the Roman formation. And then there's wisdom, right? In many counselors, there is much wisdom. So there's no need. I mean, sometimes when we're trying to figure it all out on our own, you know, our mind can get into this cycle and things can become really convoluted and we have a hard time distinguishing what is reality and what is simply my reaction or perception. Getting wise counsel can help to clarify what is true. And then or exhortation. So people being like, yeah, this is what you're called to do. And in Christ, you can do it. And then discipline, because we will fall. And we need people who love us enough to be like, no, that was not good. That was not good for you nor your family. And yeah. So we need to figure that out. We need people in our life. And we need to develop relationships in our life that are more than just people telling us what we want to hear, you know?
And especially with these last two, I mean, that is a particular function that your pastor should be very chief in those, you know, I mean, if our Sunday preaching does not include exhortation to holiness, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why we do have the church is to discipline the wayward. And hopefully that discipline can be very light in terms of you're going the wrong way, stop it. And you do, right? It doesn't have to get into greater things like barring communion and writing a letter to the bishop.
Right. Well, discipline, I mean, it's seen as a negative word, but I mean, it's not. I mean, it just means training.
Right, right.
Right. And so, if we are going to the weight room and we're lifting with bad form, discipline is someone coming and saying, hey, actually, you know, you shouldn't lift like that because you're going to really hurt yourself, and showing you, you know, how to do it right.
Yeah. If you want to get your arms strong, stop using your legs to give your arms a break.
Yeah. Right.
You know, kind of things.
Isolate, you know, the
learn
muscle.
Learn how to do it right. Yeah.
So, well, amen. Well, this is a really good section here. And I think it gives us some very practical ways to begin to fight and continue to fight this war against sin that we fight every day through temptation.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment below.
You can also take Anglican Catechesis with you on the go by subscribing to the podcast. You can find the link in the YouTube description. Lord willing, we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.